probing what went wrong in Afghanistan for a second day. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. Republicans call it a disaster. Democrat Jim Langevin just said at a House hearing,
I've yet to hear the answer to the question, though, of why did we not start withdrawing American citizens and SIVs sooner.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland has more on today's hearing live.
Day decisions on troop levels in Afghanistan were made at the highest level of government. That from Joint Chiefs of Staff General Mark Milley, who testified he recommended a small group remain. House Armed Services Committee Ranking Member Mike Rogers asked CENTCOM Commander General Kenneth Frank McKenzie.
President Biden told George Stephanopoulos in an interview, no one said that to me, referring to keeping some 2,500 troops in Afghanistan. Was that an inaccurate statement by the president?
Sir, I am not going to comment on a statement by the president.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says the U.S. remains committed to getting Americans who remain in Afghanistan out. Dave?
Rachel, President Biden scrapped a trip to Chicago today so he could huddle up with his fellow Democrats as progressives demand to vote first on a $3.5 trillion spending plan.
Bernie Sanders says, let's be crystal clear, if the bipartisan infrastructure bill is passed on its own Thursday, tomorrow, this will be in violation of an agreement that was reached within the Democratic caucus in Congress.
Fox's Peter Ducey at the White House. All Republicans oppose the bigger spending bill and are blocking attempts to raise the debt limit. More Haitians are trying to come to America.
I am in the middle of the Suchiate River. On one side is Tacunamán, Guatemala. On the other side, Ciudad Hidalgo, Mexico.
Fox's Griff Jenkins reports that's where the migrants are moving in illegally.
Little is being done to enforce the illegal crossings. Officials locally say that as many as 800 Haitians a day are now crossing.
This after 13,000 Haitians from that camp in Del Rio, Texas, were allowed into the U.S. America's listening to Fox News.
He raids your fridge.
Yada brada.
Borrows your car without asking.
Scratches? What scratches?
He's your brother-in-law.
I'll pay you back.
He takes what's yours, and there's nothing you can do. But when identity thieves want to take what's yours, you can do something. LifeLock by Norton monitors your info and alerts you to potential threats. If you become a victim, they can help fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com using promo code NEWS.
California is in big trouble. Soaring crime, overregulation, and high taxes are forcing taxpayers to flee. Now, Newsmax's Rob Schmidt looks at this dangerous situation in his special series on California. Watch Rob Schmidt on Newsmax at 10 p.m. Eastern. Newsmax is on every major cable system. Just check your cable guide. Get Newsmax on most streaming services or download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone. California's nightmare is spreading. Watch Rob Schmidt on Newsmax tonight for this...
YumaDailyNews.com on News Talk 560 KBLU is brought to you by Half Off Yuma. Get our half off deals right now. Go to KBLUAM.com and click on Yuma Half Off for this week's savings.
Good morning. This is the news in 60 seconds. YumaDailyNews.com. Looks like Yuma High School has been selected to receive a $1,000 award as part of the June Dairy Month sweepstakes. According to Principal Mike Fritz, the money will be used to help grow the collection of books available for students in the campus library. If you're a Gen Xer or Boomer in Yuma and the kids have moved out, you may need to consider cutting back. Read all about downsizing for newly single adults and couples here in Yuma on our website. Yuma Proving Ground is celebrating National Hispanic Heritage Month. See what they have said at YumaDailyNews.com. And move over, Elon Musk and Cybertruck. There's a company here in Arizona that's ready to debut their first all-electric pickup truck prototype. Atlas Motor Vehicle says its Atlas XT is a four-wheel drive pickup truck with a 300-mile range. Read our featured story at YumaDailyNews.com. Get more local and national stories when you sign up for e-news at YumaDailyNews.com. I'm Andrew Caravella.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
for Chamber Chatter on 560 KVLU. I am Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. And as always, we have in here with us Ross Clark. Good morning, Ross.
Good morning.
Good morning. And this morning we're talking Yuma County Fair and Fall Fest and all the great things at the fairgrounds with Eric Wolford. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Yuma.
Good morning.
Hope everybody's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed this morning, right? Had your cup of coffee?
I did. I've had one so far.
I know, I'm working on my, finishing my first.
And so Fall Fest is coming.
Fall Fest is coming Friday, October 15th through the 23rd. So we run 9 days. Our hours are a little bit different for the Fall Fest. We open during the week at 3 o'clock, and we go till we decide to close the doors, and then.
So if I want to party till 2 a.m., we're good.
Oh, well, we're going to probably, if you're still there and everybody else is there with you, sure. If you're the only one, we're probably going to have you get a cab.
I'm like, well, see, I have no pull.
Well, we can either that or give you that one.
There we go.
So, yeah, a little pull.
Okay.
And then on the weekends, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we open up at noon, and same thing. We kind of, our motto is that we stay open as long as there's people around. So, everybody asks, well, what's going to close? Well, general rule of thumb is around midnight.
Mm-hmm. How is this different than the regular fair?
It's in October. No.
Alrighty then.
No. We really don't have, there's no livestock. So there, so we changed it to a fall fest because my definition of the county fair is livestock is included into a county fair. That's just, I don't think if you look up Webster and say this is what the definition of a county fair and that has it in there, it's my personal one because I grew up here. I grew up in 4-H and FFA, and I grew up showing animals.
I agree with you. I grew up in a rural area.
Definition. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, there's a lot of similarities, but it's also a different layout in regards to our commercial vendors. It's a lot more open inside the theater building, the commercial building. There's the hours of operation, obviously, are different. But there are some similarities as well because, we're going to have the cinnamon rolls, obviously. They have two locations, and they've had two locations for a while, so... pre-COVID, I think we started that 2 years pre-COVID. So check out their outside food booth or their booth outside, and then their traditional one. Same people, same delicious.
Wait a minute, is cinnamon rolls that big a deal?
Oh yeah.
Thinking that same. I mean, I keep hearing about these cinnamon rolls.
Yeah, they're.
I was checking.
Yeah, of course they are.
Okay,
it's like
so
the demolition booth.
What's big about them?
They're delicious.
I hear they're also big in general, right?
And you can, I think the box, if you order the 12 count, you can grab that and eat them as you go out the door, I guess. Or save them for later. You order them for your office.
Okay,
they're kind of like donuts.
So I want to know, how many do you eat in one sitting?
I don't. I'll have at least probably two during fair whole week, but I actually really don't have a lot of time to eat. I actually, I kind of put on my winter coat, and in spring I'm able to kind of lose that and come out of hibernation.
So you mentioned commercial vendors. How do you think Fall Fest is going to be different for them?
For them as far as...
do you expect different traffic? Do you expect different...
I expect more people for them. Our commercial vendors and our industry has struggled as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So they've had to become more innovative in their approach as far as their products and their how they interact. So I think you're going to be able to have that more close-knit and a lot of more local, commercial vendors and... food vendors, I guess I should say.
Okay.
They've got to kind of adapted with the times too, and there may be few of them, and because of if they've survived COVID, right? There's been a lot of that in the entire, not just in our industry, but in the And you know, you can go down and see a lot of storefronts closed because of what happened. So it's just a matter of getting them back. So come out and support not only local, but, you know, support, you know, the industry and the people that are coming to provide you a service.
I get it. What can you give any examples? What one do you see there?
As far as the commercial vendors, so we've got as far as local, one off the top of my head is, you know, the Rod and Gun Club, always as you come in, off to the right, as you come into the commercial building.
Okay.
There's the Polar Cooling. There's, we've got just, you know, a bunch of different, you know, your, the massage chairs,
okay,
the
you just sold me.
Yeah, exactly right.
You know, walking around the fair, you get tired.
You do, you do.
There's a lot of
walking.
You
got the footsie-wootsies, but you also can go and, you know, and which footsie-wootsies are a brand that you sit down and they kind of give you the massage on the feet. We also have commercial, you know, we have a vendor that provides the chairs.
Now, after COVID, you know, I've noticed there's been a lot of vendors that haven't fired back up yet for other other things. I'm assuming it's the same for you, that it's a little thinner.
It is. The pool's a little thinner, but we, you know, we're doing a very good job of trying to get those ones that survived or can jump back in. You know, typically for them, they would be able to come around and do a route, in a sense, and if they weren't able to do that because they weren't able to go to some of the other fairs before they get in here, they just kind
of
open
up. Right. A lot of these guys live on the road.
Yeah,
they move. They move from fair to fair, or, you know, event to event, whatever they are.
Exactly, event to event, whether it's, you know, they could be the same, you know, vendors that you see at Mado, or, you know, the vendors that you see at Tacos and Tunes.
Well, I just went to Tacos and Tunes, and it was kind of thin there, and I talked to a few of them.
Yeah.
And they had just spooled back up, a few of them. You know, there wasn't a lot to go to. And they thought the Tacos and Tunes was not as strong as it had been in prior years as far as attendance or number of people. Still well worth it. They're coming back next year. It's all, no, it's all that.
Yeah.
But, you know, they used to get run over.
Right, and it's I think you're dealing with two elements of that. A, weather, I think, kind of helped, you know, didn't help.
Rain.
It rained a little bit, right. and then
it poured.
Yeah, and then, you know, there's, you know, I think I had a problem. I had family stuff, so we didn't actually attend, but we've attended in the past and had a great time. So I think that it's just getting that jump started, right?
That's funny. You know, I know what you're doing. Your time off from running events as you go to other events. Really?
I do. It's whenever I get to spend time with my family and do things, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because during fair,
no one's going to come up and grab you during like they do during fair.
No.
And they say, hey, I need some help.
Right, and you know, it's like, hey, it's, you know how fair is. Well, you will know, but not being from here, it's a little bit different. It's like a reunion. So if we haven't seen each other in like 2 years, right? So come on, you know, come out and I think there's a couple high school classes that do their reunion during our traditional fair at the beer garden. So. It's going
to
be...
Of course, you're going to have to wear a name tag now with the beard and everything. And no one will know who you are.
That's why I grew it. That way, when I walk around and then put a mask on, it's like, who's that guy?
Actually, that beard should help for a mask because you can breathe because it doesn't fit right.
Yes, it doesn't fit right. Yep, it's a little bushy around the side.
No, I mean the mask now, because it sits on top of the beard, it doesn't block breathing.
No, it doesn't. It actually helps in airplanes, to be honest. It's not fogging up your glasses. And
I wish I could grow one. Maybe I could get an artificial beard when I do the airplanes, but that'd probably get me over into secondary.
You know, I was trying to picture you with a beard.
You can always go with standard. You know, they have those ones where you can just kind of get that long one that hooks around the ears like your mask, you know?
You know what I'd really like is not wearing one. You need to go to a break.
Okay with that. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KVLU.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, serving Arizona for over 20 years.
This time of year, temperatures usually in the upper 90s, definitely cooler than that today. 90 this afternoon. Low 70s tonight, 93 the high tomorrow.
There is a lot of confusion about COVID-19, but one thing we know for sure, vaccines aren't enough. Check for fever, COVID's number one symptom, with the Exergen temporal scanner, and learn more at Exergen.com.
I'm meteorologist Carrie Smith from the Weather Channel.
Are you struggling to find quality employees? Tired of placing the same old Sunday classifieds or getting lost in the online job boards and getting the same results? Then you need to call us today at 344-4980 and put radio to work for you. It's fast. Place an ad today and have it on air tomorrow. Whether you're looking for hourly workers or to fill highly specified job descriptions, placing an ad on radio will help you fill these positions quickly. Call 344-4980 today and put radio recruitment to work for you.
Last year alone, $55 million was wasted on Facebook advertising and another $48 million on Google by people who thought they knew what they were doing but found themselves overbidding on search terms, buying wrong audiences, and using ineffective tactics. Wouldn't it be better to talk to someone who knew what they were doing from the start and could give you solid strategies and advice? Get free advice. Sign up for our business building e-tips and take the guesswork out of your marketing plans at YumaAdvertising.com.
And we are back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KVLU. Only the good stuff from the Chamber, brought to you by the Yuma Crossing National Heritage Area. I am Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. And as always, we have Russ Clark in studio. Good morning,
Good
Russ.
Good morning.
And this morning, we have Eric Wolford from the Yuma County Fair.
Brought to you by First Bank Yuma.
First Bank Yuma. I was going to say lots of people, but I remember First Bank Yuma.
Exactly.
I got a lot of questions about, this upcoming
fall test.
It says here, and I'm just reading your Facebook.
Yes, because I look at that.
Yeah, five years of age and under free.
Mm-hmm.
My granddaughter's four, so she fits that very well. But since I've got a chaperone, do I get in for free to chaperone the five-year-old?
For $6, yeah.
No. That's actually a very good answer. And then it's the two people ride for the price of one on Thursday is Buddy Day.
Yes.
I need to take her on that day because I get a discount. But do the kids have to pay for the rides, obviously.
Yeah. So, and if you purchase the limited, and I this is a long drawn out, but if you purchase the limited pre-sale ride tickets that we sold out on the 17th,
already sold out. Well, thanks for bringing that up.
You
anything else I can't get that you want to mention?
Or if you still have them from that we were going to use them for the 2020 fair, if you still have them, you can redeem them at this fair. Or Fall Fest, excuse me, and go on Buddy Day, and it's like,
wow,
you know, quite the bargain.
So, Russ, do you ride the ride?
I've been known to. In fact, at the tacos, the Tunes and Tacos, they had some little ones,
mm-hmm.
you know, and my four-year-old granddaughter, of course. And there I got to ride for free. I paid for her, and I got to ride for free because she couldn't ride alone because
mm-hmm.
she wasn't the right height. To go unchaperoned.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is awesome.
And he barely made the right height.
I was thinking probably, yeah, exactly. There we go.
Yeah, so, yeah, I will. I mean, I haven't gone to the fair rides in a long time. But I think I will for the baby. But then we're not talking the zipper for
right.
a four-year-old.
Well, see, you know. And I'm just thinking, you know, I rode the Scrambler for the first time or something along those lines.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called
Sizzler?
Here. But Sizzler, okay. Mm-hmm. For the first time about 2 years ago, and yeah, my stomach doesn't take those the way they used to.
I still go with my kids,
okay.
obviously, and the freak out is one of the spectaculars that they have there.
Freak out?
Yes.
What is the freak out?
So it actually, it's kind of like a claw, and then you sit in the chairs, and then it swings you back and forth, and it goes almost all the way. They have another one that does that. I don't remember the name of it, but this actually pitches you almost
upside down.
Yeah.
So, but that's not for my four-year-old yet. I'll have to work up to those.
Next year,
I'm in the light
year.
Stuff right now. You know.
Yeah, you're on the Dizzy Dragons. You're on, you know, the bumper cars. You know, the good stuff.
And it is so much fun there to go with a child who's just amazed at the lights and at the action, at the things going on. And if you haven't gone to the fair for a while because you're bored, borrow a child.
Absolutely. Yeah. Borrow one that's four, and then you can bring her in or that child in for free.
Yeah, that's right. And it's exciting to look at it through a fresh set of eyes, and you can do that if you take some of the kids. So.
You know, as you say that, it reminds me of, and that's part of what we do too, is build those memories. Is when my kids first went and. Their eyeballs just stay wide up. They just get huge and they're just running all around and want to do everything all at once.
And there's a lot to do other than just the rides though. But I mean, I always like the hypnotist or little sideshows of some kind or music. Whatever they're doing is always entertaining.
Yeah, and we have something, and Kelly had this slogan, and it's not, it's not trademarked or nothing, but it's we have something for everybody at either the Fall Fest or the fair, whether it's the entertainment, the commercial vendors, the food, the rides.
So for Kimberly, that's the beer garden. That's open?
Yes, and there'll be three locations. But I do want to touch real quick, as we were kind of, came into this, talking about the general admission. I do want to... put out there that we're honoring our first responders. It was going to happen at the 2020 fair for going through that. We're still continuing that. We're honoring the first responders at this Fall Fest. And if you have with your credentials, if you're a first responder, you get in half price. So it is a $3 ticket to come in to the fair any day of the 9-day run. So. It's our way of still continuing to thank them for all of their hard work, and they're still continuing that. And that's if you're a nurse, obviously, any first responder.
That's great.
And you haven't sold out of all the space available for vendors.
We haven't. I'll find a spot if someone wants to.
Well, you can get creative on the outdoors.
Outdoors, I can get very creative. Yeah. You want to be right next to a beer garden, we probably can find a spot for you.
But some of the vendors are very interesting, as much as the shows. Because sometimes they'll bring little electronic devices of some kind, whether it's a car or some kind of hovercraft or some stuff, just toys, novelties, and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of a blast. It's kind of fun to look for.
Exactly. And one of the things that's really interesting in regards to fairs, I kind of look at them as the trendsetters or the innovators for something, because they always have the new product that's coming out that may still be beta tested right now, and then next thing you know, it's everywhere or as seen on TV. Yeah. But that kind of started at the World Fair in Chicago with the automobiles, with Ford and...
Oh, yeah, they were doing new models.
Yeah, so similar concept, right?
Yeah, my days of going to the fair, and I've been around for a while, and I used to be in Delaware and all that. They always had the freak shows. Remember the freak shows? Now they're kind of gone. I guess it's just part of the crowd.
Right, they just, that's kind of why they probably, everybody just stepped out from the tent, just walked around.
You can still see the bearded lady, but she's somewhere in the crowd.
Right.
Gotta find them.
Yeah, it's like, where's Waldo? Gotta go find him.
That was an interesting time with all the freak shows. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming they were here too during that 70s time.
70s, late 80s.
Blockhead and stuff. To put a hammer and nail into their head.
Into their nose, there's still a few of them out
swords,
there, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
really?
There's some sword swallowers, and I'm trying to think of the gentleman's name. He was just up in Prescott, I believe. Prescott, or... Because their fair just happened, so I was just... or they were down in Cochise. Because the fall fairs are really happening now through September, and then obviously state fair starts the 1st. Not trying to. I mean, I go to the state fair. But we're here talking about our fall.
So those things are still around.
Oh yeah.
I haven't seen anything like that in years.
The gentleman's name escapes me, but he was on the American Idol or Got Talent or one of those.
I basically remember that now that you say that. Yeah, was crazy.
Yeah, it's about that long. Mm-hmm.
And see, I think circus, not fair.
Really? No.
Yeah. I think where I grew up.
I don't even think they do circuses anymore. Do you ever see
Not really, no.
No, I haven't really.
You know, I lived in Tampa for quite a while, which is Barnum & Bailey.
Yeah,
it's right
uh-huh.
there, and they have a permanent location to kind of honor the circus. But I don't think that's open anymore.
No, they closed.
They did close.
They
okay.
did close.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think they still operate as, but just there's no visitors, right? I think, or did they close?
They
oh,
closed
I don't
it.
Know about that. I just
but,
know that the circus closed.
But they,
yeah.
You know, but I think the animals, the elephants and all that, the PETA people and the carrying off,
mm-hmm.
I think that kind of hurt them. It
oh,
had
yeah.
to be expensive as all get out to haul those things around.
Yeah, you know, and then, you know, think back in whenever everything was done by train and boxcar, right?
You so, yeah, the fair is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're really
mm-hmm.
rides, entertainment, food, novelties, and, you know, it's a local contest, you know, pie eating, I don't know, or pie contest or art contest.
Yeah, and we are doing, if you want to enter your fine arts or if you want to enter photography, those are the only two open skills departments that we have for the Fall Fest.
Okay.
Just because of timing and not that we, within it being in October, not so much that it's like timing we didn't
have. I got pictures of my grandchild I should turn in. I mean, they're just snapshots, but, you know, they're important to me.
They'll get judged, and, you know, and people can see them. So just remember that whenever you guys want to enter your photos.
How do you enter?
Actually, go online, go to our website, yumafair.com. Again, yumafair, I said that before, yumafair.com. And, you know, on the homepage, you'll see a link. Click on that, and it's how to enter into the skills department. So please come out.
You know, I should do that just to get my granddaughter's picture up there. So then we walk around and look at it, she just gets blown away.
She
yeah.
would,
like,
too.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, she's at the yeah. fair. That would
and, you know, and, absolutely. I think there's a class, I think it's portraits that you
mm-hmm.
can,
right.
as far as that division. So it's all laid out. With the different departments. So you click on photography, and then it'll ask you the different classes and divisions.
Mean, the worst thing could happen, you know, my ego's hurt a little bit that I don't win anything, but that's okay.
So what's the deadline?
Our deadline is through the entry deadline to when you bring it to the fair to enter it, which is the 8th and 9th, or excuse me, 9th and 10th of October. Is when you bring your fine arts or your photos to the fair. It's preferred that you do it online. It's a lot easier. Mm-hmm. You don't have to wait in line. And
there's my first.
Okay, but how do you bring fine arts online?
No.
Oh, okay.
You bring so we have the entry deadline is the same as if when you come and drop your entry
perfect.
At the fairgrounds. But that's going to take you a little bit of time if you do it that way, because then we have to manually enter your stuff
Got
into
it.
The same program that's already online.
So do it online first. Do the entry online, and then you bring your actual exhibit.
Exactly,
perfect.
To the fair. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to have them printed now. I'll just got them digitally.
Yeah, just digitally print it out. And
print it out.
You got to mat your photos. Make sure you follow the directions, or it won't be...
Not going to get a ribbon.
Depends on how it's judged. You may or may not. It's still not everybody gets a participation.
Is there an entry fee?
No entry fee.
Really?
We're one of the
yeah.
I know. It's come bring your stuff down.
Really?
No entry fee for that. Yeah. We're one of the probably the few fairs in Arizona that don't charge an entry fee.
Probably one of the few fairs anywhere.
Right. Well, we try to be very, you know, community-minded when it comes to that. And in regards to every aspect of the fair, I think we always talk about how we, you know, how do we put the community, you know, as far as our strategic plan. So.
We need to take a break, young lady.
Oh, I'm busy talking about fine arts.
And photography.
And photography. And with that, I guess we better take a break. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KVLU.
Listen right here on 560 AM KBLU from 8 to 9 AM every Monday morning to Life, Death, and the Law, where Sean Garner and Adam Hansen discuss estate planning options. Spend Monday mornings 8 to 9 AM with Sean and Adam from Deason Garner and Hansen and learn how you can plan your estate using a will or a trust to protect your family and secure your legacy. That's Life, Death, and the Law every Monday morning from 8 to 9, right here on 560 AM KBLU.
Be sure to listen for the border and traffic reports weekdays on this station, brought to you by RV World. They have a large selection of both new and used RVs. Exit Interstate 8 at Araby Road, then west on Gila Ridge, about a quarter mile. That's RV World.
There's never been a better time to switch to Spectrum Mobile. You could save hundreds of dollars on your mobile bill. Plus, there are no added taxes, hidden fees, and no contracts. Try the Spectrum Mobile Savings Calculator today, and in three easy steps, you'll see how much you could save by switching. Visit SpectrumMobile.com/save. Spectrum Internet required. Savings may vary. Restrictions apply. Visit SpectrumMobile.com/save for details.
And we are back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU. I am Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. And before we get back to talking about Fall Fest, I do have a couple of announcements for the Chamber. We do have quite a few events coming up. We were talking about the rain earlier. We had so much fun at Glow Golf Friday night, but we were pretty concerned about that weather, just like Tacos and Tunes, or Tunes and Tacos. So, but on October 5th, we have a job fair. We are going to work with the retail, hospitality, and restaurant sectors. A lot of them have been hit hard with COVID, and a lot of them have been really struggling to get fully staffed again. And so we are going to be doing a seminar, basically a coffee and learn that morning, on how to recruit and retain employees. And that is from 8:30 until 9:30, and then we are doing a job fair from 10 to 2. That is going to be at Four Points Sheraton. If you are an employer that wants to participate in the job fair, please go to yumachamber.org. That's where the employers register. But if you are a job seeker and would like to come out that day, all the details for the job seekers are at Arizona at Work, because we have some great partners for this job fair, including Arizona at Work. A lot of people remember them as YPIC. And then also the Retail Works Arizona, which is part of the Center for Future Arizona. So we've got some great things going on there. On October 8th, we are going to be doing a lunch and learn at the Yuma County Library. It is going to be on promoting your business using social media. That was actually the number one topic asked for in a survey of all of our members. They wanted to know how better to use social media. A lot of it will be Instagram focused, because that was the number one platform that was requested, but we will also touch on Facebook and YouTube as well. On October 14th, we will be having Good Morning Yuma. This one is back at Pivot Point. Our guest speaker will be Colonel McFall from YPG. So I'm sure we'll learn lots of cool stuff, because they're always doing amazing stuff out at YPG. And then on October 27th, we will be having our member mixer at Yuma Investment Group. So a lot of things going on in October, but notice there is a big gap in there for the Fall Fest. We are not going to compete with the Fall Fest.
Thank you, Kimberly. And as you went through that, I want to say thank you for what you've done at the Chamber and for us local businesses. You've really, the Chamber's, I've gotten more involved with the Chamber, even though it's probably not as involved as others, but just in regards to here lately. And thank you so much for getting that information out to us, and how to start going to these the different mixers and everything. So I can't thank you enough for letting us have that that booth at the Super Mixer, right?
At the Expo, that was great. I was so glad you were able to bring stuff to the Expo. It was great to be able to promote the Fall Fest.
So I just want to say thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome.
You're doing awesome at the Chamber for us, for the local businesses. And if you're listening to this and you're a local business, you're not a part of the Chamber, become a part of the Chamber, and they'll guide you in the right direction. Because they really... She didn't ask me to do this, folks, just by the way.
No. She's not complaining.
No, I'm not complaining. It's
very sincere, so thank you.
Thank you. Let's get back to talking about the Fall Fest. Of course, I got to introduce Russ again. Russ, good morning.
Good morning.
And we have Eric Wolford from the fair.
Yes,
and for those of you that don't know, we had our community expo on 9/11, and a lot of local businesses had booths, but we did have a booth for Fall Fest, because we want to make sure everybody knows about it.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for this opportunity, too. Again, our Fall Fest, October 15th through the 23rd. We're running 9 days. We have a ton of entertainment. We have, obviously, the carnival rides, the carnival food, all the stuff that you've been missing for, I say, 2 years. It's really two fairs. Between 2021, we're able to bring this Fall Fest to the Yuma community, and we've got two different demolition derbies. We're working on the entertainment schedule as we speak. There's a few things left that we have to do in regards to securing some of our main entertainment, our headliner, our national act. There's always a few bumps in the roads when you're trying to put something on at this scale, and so that's where we're at. So stay tuned to that. If you haven't signed up for our newsletter, please do so. Go to the Yuma Fair website, yumafair.com. On the top right corner is a drop down. It says sign up for newsletter, and it'll give you notifications when we're doing something out at the fair, whether it's the monster trucks, whether it's the pre-sale ride tickets. Do that. Sign up. I encourage you very much to sign up, because that's where a lot of the information of our events will hit you first, and you guys will have that information. We are a 501c3, so we try to get our information out as affordable as possible. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way.
Well, and Eric, I mean, I know we're talking about Fall Fest, but there are so many other things going on at the fairgrounds this fall.
Yeah, oh my goodness. We decided to do it all in October.
Apparently.
You know, a glutton for punishment. But I wouldn't have done this and tried to do the events that we're doing without, full confidence in my staff. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are amazing. Without skipping a beat, I know we get this done, and we do it very, very, very well, and we're very successful at it. We have obviously, we started our drive-in movie series on Friday with Mortal Kombat. Again, that's on our website as far as the times and dates. I believe gates open at 6:30. Show starts at 7. But we also have, we're still do small private events as well. So we have a private event on Saturday, and then we roll right into the monster trucks on the 8th and 9th. And then we decided that, let's move them up and then have the Fall Fest, And then Scary and Safe, the Yuma Police Department is doing the Scary and Safe trick-or-treat at the fairgrounds as well on the 31st, which is Sunday, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then we squeezed in a drive-in movie that Friday before then. So
I know, it's Hocus Pocus.
Yes, it is Hocus Pocus.
I know, it's Hocus Pocus.
So, and again, that's a lot in October for a staff of 8.
Mm-hmm.
But we have our core staff of 8. And again, as you mentioned earlier, labor issues. So we're doing okay. But again, if we will be able to get this going, and I couldn't have done it without having the full confidence in my team. They're amazing, absolutely amazing.
They are. I mean, I clearly know a lot of your team.
Yeah,
so they're pretty great.
Thank you.
And speaking of which, so you have all of these events, and you said you have a private event. The fairgrounds pieces of it, at least, are available for rental.
Yeah, absolutely. We rent out certain areas of the fairgrounds. We can, anything from, 75 people in one of our smaller buildings. The beer garden we actually rent out. We do a lot of high school reunions.
And can you provide the beer?
Well, yes, we can. Yeah, absolutely. Without hesitation. And then we have a 20,000 square foot theater building that we rent out as well. So and that comes with the tables and chairs, and we have certain rounds. So we don't have to go into. And if you're interested, we're doing weddings, things like that.
So as you say, you still have some rentals now.
Mm-hmm.
And COVID, you were always big. There was always a lot of things going on. COVID had to slow it down.
It hurt. There's not any other way to put it. But yes, we were able to do some smaller events based on size. We worked. Randy at the city was absolutely amazing to get applications processed to where we can have those events set up. We were literally putting tape down for squares, what we can put in on the floor to have people sit in those squares. And
wow.
Our exit, one thing that was nice about the theater building is it's 22,000 of open floor space,
yeah,
with swamp coolers that allowed and all kinds of access. So that allowed us to have a little bit of breathing room in regards.
It's almost an outdoor venue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The time you open everything up, yeah.
Yeah. And that's very safe for those COVID, people are concerned. Mm-hmm. But they say open windows and breezes, pretty much outdoors when you're at that.
And that's why, exactly. When it comes to COVID, our mm-hmm. protocol, we've worked on, when we thought we were going to be able to get in, for 20, there was our sanitation and cleaning policy was enacted. We already had a great one anyway because we deal with livestock, right?
Right.
I mean, we've been dealing with E. coli and wash your hands and hand mm-hmm. sanitizing and hand stations for decades. It is just a matter of, signage now and feeling comfortable when you come out that, our layout's a little bit different to allow that expansion for the room to walk around and have that separation for people if they feel so yeah. inclined.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really where having such a, a large area is beneficial.
And there's been a lot of talk about moving it, and we talked a little bit off air about moving the yeah. venue. This is not the original location of the county fair. It used to be closer to town.
Yeah, it actually used to be by the cemetery.
Okay.
Back in 1940.
Before our time.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
and they physically moved some of the grandstands and stuff. These are original grandstands, I understand.
Yeah.
They were actually relocated somehow.
Yeah, before my time, but they are there. the grandstand from the old ballpark, that's where the police station is, a historian will fact check me, I apologize.
That used to be the outside, that's the outskirts of town right there on 16th Street.
And could you imagine where we're located now was even further out.
Right.
We moved in 1952, we were in the process, and I have, we have those, that...
You got photos and stuff.
And the history books, basically. Okay. Our archives that we have, with all of that, we started the transition in 1952. And it originally, I went back, and there was a fair. It was actually downtown in 1901. There's little tiny...
On Main Street or something?
Yeah, down on Main Street. I went to the library down in the archives and found... basically premium books from 1901. So it was awesome.
It's been around a while.
It has.
But now we're talking about another move because obviously the town caught up to the fairgrounds.
Yeah.
No longer on the outside of town.
No, we're not 4 miles out or 10 miles out anymore.
Yeah, so that thing's been going on for a few years as far as finding locations and doing some suggestions. But nothing is set yet, is it?
No, nothing's set. The committee that is comprised of the different entities are still in the process of trying to relocate the fairgrounds to where we're not right across the airbase. So
yeah.
You don't sit at the end of the runway anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But people love to park in the parking lot and watch all the planes go over.
They do. Yes, and the air show too. They love to park in that parking lot.
I bet they do.
But you're not ready to pack up yet. You don't have a place to go, and there's no... Is there something on the horizon, or deadlines? Is there somebody saying we should know something by the end of, and then give a date?
Well, we were actually in the process of trying to come up with, a deadline and have, that process worked out. COVID hit.
Yeah.
And kind of... I don't want to blame everything on COVID, but this is a legit one, right? I didn't, get a splinter because of COVID,
yeah.
But I'm just saying we had a lot of moving parts, and then, we couldn't meet to do that. there's still the relocation study, and the committee is still involved in relocating the fairgrounds, and it's beneficial for all parties involved in the community as well. It's just how we're still trying to figure out that path.
But too far out of town would destroy a lot of normal operations. It can't be too far.
Yeah, so we have our interim events, right? So what's nice about, if you look at where we're at right now, we're actually centrally located, even from as far as Somerton and San Luis, as compared to like Welton, you know. So that's ideal. We would, you know, and to move way out of town wouldn't be beneficial for the operations, because for, you know, our interim events in regards to restaurant, hotel, that we, you know, obviously are an economic driver with those interim events. They wouldn't feel that impact anymore. And we could actually, you know, lose business because of that. And they would, you know, they could potentially go look elsewhere.
Well, I just want you to move, because I want to see how they move the grandstands.
You won't have to worry about that. Okay. I think those are going to stay there.
Okay. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KVLU.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
With Chamber Chatter on 560 KVLU, brought to you by the Yuma Crossing National Heritage Area. I am Kimberly Kale, Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. And this morning we have Russ Clark. Good morning, Russ. And we have Eric Wolford from the Yuma County Fair. Good morning.
Good morning. Brought to you by First Bank Yuma.
Brought to you by First Bank Yuma. Absolutely.
Heck yeah. I can't thank them enough for partnering up with us again.
So they're a huge supporter of the Chamber, too.
Oh, yeah. They're great people, great folks.
They do a lot in the community.
I'm not done with the relocation. I just want to know.
Okay.
I just want to know. Do you have a favorite for you personally that you're looking at and say, well, that one would be okay, that one would be nice?
As far as location?
Well, yes.
Because I have a favorite fair design.
That's a whole different deal, but a very important logistics of that. I'm sure you have some insight.
I mean, I've been able to go to different fairs. But as far as locations go, preferably ones that are still around are the hotels, the restaurants. In regards to...
Well, I've heard suggestions of the pack, but drive by, I think it's not near big enough. There's not enough area.
And those parcels over there are singled out. Like, if you even go where L.A. Yuma or whatever, it's not L.A. Yuma anymore.
Right, but anyways, I know what you mean.
Yeah, I think if you look back in there, if you go all the way to where Sportsman's, you know, the street to where Sportsman's is, there's still not enough area there. So, and if you look at the way it's all singled out...
Because you take up... How many acres do you take up there?
We're 184 acres total, but that's including the conservation garden, basically from the corner of 32nd Street and Pacific.
Right by the airport.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All the way to 2.5 feet.
Of course, quite a bit of that's not used. I mean, part of it's parking, part of it's conservation park.
Yeah, you've got the conservation garden, you've got the FAA tower. But as the Yuma community grows... obviously, our attendance grows, and so parking grows. So yeah, we utilizing a little bit extra. We need about 250 acres in order to...
Well, you don't have that down by the pack.
Not in one chunk. Not in one decent chunk in a good location.
Yeah.
You know, I think there are some other areas kind of around that.
Like Welton?
Maybe a little too far out. No offense to Welton.
Yeah, but you had already mentioned that you want to be centrally located. I
don't know where that would be. I mean, I don't know where you would be centrally located and still have that kind of activities that you have that is considered real close. Because we're Yuma, and 5 miles out is almost too far for Yuma. We're not L.A., where 5 miles is nothing.
Yeah, we're not used to driving. What do you mean I got to drive 5 miles?
Yeah, I know. I'm not coming all the way into town again today. I mean, like, it's 2 miles, guys.
And you went to what? And you went to Foothills.
Right.
Oh,
so
I don't want to go to... I can't do Las Vegas.
But we don't hesitate to drive to Phoenix.
Not at all.
Yeah, I mean, that's no big deal.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so, but somehow driving 5 miles in... just Yuma, you know.
It's kind of like, you know, get your tickets early. Nah, I'll get it. It will still be available. You know, we're very much the procrastinators.
But what place is available has 258?
You know, there's some different areas off of, you know, you got 3E kind of out going that way. Up by, you know, and I'm spitballing.
Yeah.
Again, there's still, you know, you can actually drop back into the Yuma Valley. There's some, you know, some area over there. That could be, there's give and take, right? You know,
yeah,
we understand that if we move into this area, it'll still be beneficial to our interim events, our fairgoers. The drive time's not that. We've done a complete study back in 2016, and it has drive times for different locations. There's different zones, I should say, between Yuma Valley.
I understand down by Araby Road or the access highway, even at one time, was talked about because there's not a lot of nothingness out there.
Yeah, and you know, that area, it again, depending on drive times, cost, whether or not that's a beneficial location, some of those things.
I say it's not that far out, but it would take you out of the play for some of the stuff you do outside the fair. You know. Because it's just far enough out, you're not really going to get people wanting to rent it because it's real close to convenient, even though it's only like 5 miles.
Exactly. And getting people to come to the whatever that said event is, right?
Yeah, like the Rotary Club does something or some dog show or something. It's like, oh, wow, that's way out.
Yeah, exactly. And in some of those some of those events, if they don't want to move to, or if they don't, they want to be closer because they go off site for the, like I said, for the hotels or for the restaurants. You know, it's building. I don't know if it's necessarily if you build it they will come, kind of like the Field of Dreams. And it's all over time
I think maybe what it comes down to, we just have to move Marine Corps Air Station would be easier.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, the estimated cost to relocate the fairgrounds is slightly lower than trying to relocate them.
I was just checking.
You know. And one thing, you know,
might be slightly less red tape too.
Yeah, just slightly.
Just a little bit.
And you know, I don't, you know, we've been neighbors with MCAS for going on 70 years.
Good neighbors.
You know, and when they're, yeah, absolutely. And we've continued that relationship. So it's just, and like I've said before, you know, we've grown up together, and we're just, now we're outgrowing each other to where we've got a...
business has expanded for both.
Absolutely. Right. As, you know, they're building all kinds of hangars out there, too, you know, and you see, right, you know, and that's good, and that's great for them, great for our community, you know, and... that economic drive, but you know, we also have that economic and social.
So how much time do you have before the money runs out that has been allocated?
From the state?
Yeah.
That is a question for the county board of supervisors. I don't know the timeline. I would assume sooner than later would be better.
Yeah, somebody's got to pull a trigger and get the ball rolling.
Yeah, and I don't know if they've set a deadline in regards, but if it's just like anything else from the state budget, they're asking it to get off the books as soon as possible, I would assume.
I don't trust money sitting still. Politicians are going to use it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, because, you know, depending on how that the negotiations went in regards to get that funding.
Which is great to get that funding, but it feels like a drop in the bucket.
You know, and we've done such an amazing job with our representatives to help us do that with Representative Dunn, Representative Osborne, Senator Kerr, you know, which I all know very well, and I appreciate their support in getting this done. But yeah, we've got it's a good start, and we had to start somewhere. So the $5 million that was allocated from the state. I'm sure there's probably some still working on trying to figure out how to utilize the funds. Yeah. I don't know a timeline, though. We can maybe ask Jonathan.
I'll try that. is he on your board?
Jonathan is in our district.
For the supervisor.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're staring at me. Okay, so we don't have a lot of time left, but I can't let this hour go by without talking about the Demolition Derby, because I love Demolition Derbies, and you have two of them.
Are you driving the car?
You should. You should get a chamber car. You have time.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Great.
You know, just or sponsor one. Maybe that.
That would be different. Yeah. I think.
And then tell them you want to drive in one of them, and then that's.
Yeah. I like to watch them crash. I'm not really sure. I'm not sure. I'm getting a little bit older, and I'm not sure my body can take it anymore.
The bounce back is a little longer, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, you know, maybe when I was 20.
Absolutely.
Bruises heal.
Yeah. Great. Yeah.
You know, concussions, they heal.
Perfect. Yeah. But, I mean, you've got two, right?
Yeah, we have two this year. The Saturday, the 16th, and then the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
They start at 7. And again, I still have to say this, if you're new to coming to the Demolition Derby, which I find hard to believe, but I do realize that there are some people that haven't seen the Derby.
Well, I haven't seen it. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've seen Demolition Derby, but I've not seen this particular one.
Come early. Mm-hmm. Please come early. Those days, we usually, again, it starts at 7. Don't expect to try to get to the fairgrounds at 6:50 thinking that you're just going to drive in and find a parking spot. You've got to plan ahead, come out, enjoy a couple hours out at the fairgrounds, you know, doing the food, the vendors, the hypnotists, the bands, enjoy yourself, and then walk over to the grandstands and watch the Derby. Plan ahead, please.
Do you expect the Saturday one to be more busy than the Wednesday one, or do you expect them to be about the same just because it's so popular?
The Saturday is probably going to be a little bit busier, just more attendees, because it's Saturday, and people have the... there's more people available to have Saturday off to come instead of Wednesday night. So.
Oh, he's telling me it's time to go. So let's recap the dates for the Fall Fest.
Again, the Yuma County Fair Fall Fest, brought to you by First Bank Yuma, is October 15th through the 23rd. And come out. If there's people that are local businesses that want a spot, a commercial vendor spot, contact the fairgrounds, send us an email. YCFI@yumafair.com, and we will get you all the information to be a vendor, a commercial vendor at the fair. And there's what else?
The movie's coming up. You got one this Friday. Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat this Friday. Gates open at 6:30. I think it's $12 a car. I mean, that's pretty affordable. Mm-hmm. That's Yes.
Okay, well, thanks so much, Eric, for coming in. We have to go. You've been listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
from the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio. This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.